Say that again?
Yes, your royal president, sir.
That's for all the times I had to say Wendy is queen of the world growing up. All right. Chapter...
12. Ready?
As you please.
Set.
It was the grief-stricken and repulsive voice of Mr. Spellman. I opened the door. I could hear the catcalls, and I could hear Sir Thomas warming up to his voice. Any other time, I would have simply set him on fire and been done with it. Sorry. But not this time. This time, I was determined to acknowledge and move on. I lashed out in the general direction of the creepy cowboy, and I doubled my alcohol intake. I turned around and around, ready to clobber the first clueless cowboy, or at least produce some kind of segue. But instead, I was looking down the barrel of my own homemade gun. Old man Spellman was in love with himself, and now he was falling for Sir Thomas. The red flames that sailed from Sir Thomas's face were actually coming from his cigar. He stoked the flames with his haggard breathing, laughing and tap dancing. His dirigible lifted off directly in front of me. As the dirigible rose in front of me, the door opened in the incalculable distance. Sir Thomas hissed like a poor man's Sid Barrett. His heart was so in love with Old Man Spellman that it forgot to pump blood. He was accelerating desperately towards love and death. Meanwhile, the door was, I'd say, 3 kilometers in the distance. 1 second more of this hokey suspense, and I won't even try to find the door. And then I heard a rude noise, and all the air that didn't smell foul had disappeared. And now I was on fire to find that door. I prepared to gulp. It had finally happened. I had turned into a vulture. It was the only logical explanation. It was either that, or I too was in love with Old Man Spellman. When I tried explaining this sordid mess to Dad, he had a conniption fit and passed out right after knocking me upside the head. It was then that I started seeing cowboys. I woke to the sound of crayons drawing, sucking the dilettante from Sir Thomas and spitting it out like so many clavicles. Like honor clavicles in soiled snake sauce. Arrested for DWC, driving wild cowboy, and while wanting to be a lizard. It was a rude thing to do, but they circled the crayons anyway. The cowboy was trapped with his crayons. His cowboy hat rose up, gulped, swallowed some soiled snake sauce, and then did a little cha-cha dance. Sir Thomas had been ready to see the world on fire. Instead, his agribusiness brazenness poured out of the seam in his head. The Red Llama had a word for this. Translated to English, it's, "Have a nice day." But translated to American, it's, "Have a brilliant evisceration." Come on, I had to say something. Something alive. Something other than holding hands with Old Man Spellman. I argued and argued with myself, but that's all I could come up with. How come I have to question everything? Why can't I just intend to having had done the right thing? And then just repair my cold goo ice cream stand. The blue humidity inside the lab was actually a sea of sleep-deprived rats and, strangely, Lance Corporal Lindy England. As brilliant as the humidity was, it also gave off a strange blue smell. It was so intense that it actually pecked out Sir Thomas's eyes. Wah! He was already screaming before his eyes hit the ground. I knew he was in pain, but wah! Sounded like something you'd put on a tutor resume. I guess it had that certain scent of cold goo. It was magic. I had never changed my mind so quickly. From that tutor resume crack to, it's magic, all in the space of 3 seconds. What sin could I have committed that would send a carton of rocks cascading through my breakfast cereal like a Spanish Armada cannon blast? What sin could I have committed that would send the hilarity of the lambs sailing like volcanic lava through the air at me? That's it. That's it, Spellman. You know what? I lifted the cold goo as an offering to the moon's moon. You're right. I ate something and I feel much better. It's the cold goo. It's magic. With the cold goo everywhere, and one everywhere, I circled the cagey cowboy. Old man Spellman was a misanthrope, and this time I had the aces up my sleeve that Dad was always pouring cold goo on to prove it. I had aces and a pair of sidewalk chalks the Contras would die for. A battalion of lesser Holstroms had been called in to cordon off the air. It was airlicious. A penis would have said, "I don't believe it!" Probably say it twice, upsetting the cold goo that was close to me, but even closer to the cowboy. Sir Thomas knew extremism. He'd had it converted into a metallic rooster in his old age. The fire he had felt as a teen had been pummeled, eviscerated, and later stepped on by my arpeggios. "Listen to me, you bad cowboy. I'm pitching a hissy fit." I was so intent on calling a bad cowboy, that my voice sounded like it had risen from the grave and punched me out. I sounded like a pair of broken CIA agents who decided to sell sonar to Switzerland. I had to focus. Intensity. Importanticity. Podiatry. I can't even want Encarnacion, my own motto. I lit the cold glue in the direction of Sir Thomas. The aces were entrenched under the cowboy's hat. I didn't give gopher shit if he had three aces. He was a strange motherfucker, and he was going down. I lifted the cold goo. The fire from the last of the moon's coffee crystal was de-firing. You heard me, de-firing. And after de-firing its resplendent rays of light, it was going to kick Sir Thomas's ass. You heard me. Ass. When the light became low on actual light, Sir Thomas actually sat down and made a complimentary gesture to the moon. His armor shook and then actually shimmied for a second, and then boom!
Boom.
Bam!
Thanks, Wendell P.
Yeah.